Good morning. Pastor X, thank you very much for the opportunity of being here. While you were reading my bio, I was thinking all that it means is that I'm old. I didn't even know I had done all those things. Yes, I have gone to college. I have done my due diligence. But as you can hear, one thing that I will never get rid of is my accent. And it's funny because today, over 2,000 years ago, was Pentecost. So if there's anything I say that you don't understand, just tell your neighbor he's speaking in tongues. And we're going to be good. So thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege to be with you today. It's truly, truly an honor for me to stand in this house and worship Jesus together with all of you. As Pastor X said, my name is Edwin. I was born in El Salvador, a small but beautiful country in Central America. When I go out, and lately I've done it quite a lot, 3 weeks from now I'm going to be in Chile. I just came back from Mexico. But I always ask the Lord to give me something that I need to receive the same as I give. And when you, Valerie, I believe, and I didn't get the other name, when they were talking about immigration, that's what I leave every Sunday. My church, I have over 14 different countries, from the U.S. to Chile, Argentina. And that's what we're leaving. It's a hot topic. So thank you. I received today. So I was born in Central America, and while I was in college, I met my wife. She had moved from here to study there, and somewhere between classes, conversations, and coffee, we fell in love. After 4 years of dating, we relocated back here and began building our life together. And honestly, moments like these remind me how amazing God is. Because only God can take a young man from a small country in Central America and years later allow him to stand here today preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that that's the beauty of the kingdom of God. Because the gospel crosses borders, it crosses cultures, it crosses backgrounds. And that's why I love Jesus, because heaven is not going to look like one culture or race or nation. The Bible says that one day people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation will gather before the throne worshiping the Lamb. And looking around this room today, that's exactly what I see. I see a glimpse of heaven. Different stories, different backgrounds, different journeys, but one Savior, one God, one Spirit, and one cross. And today, I have, like Pastor X was saying, I have the privilege to serve as the lead pastor and co-founder of Iglesia Cristiana Sanación y Esperanza, which translated means Hope and Healing Christian Church. We are located 40 minutes north of San Francisco. Another thing that they said in my bio, but another thing you might want to know about me, before full-time ministry, my professional background was and still is in mental health. And for about 20 years, I worked with the government while simultaneously serving ministry and pastoring. So for so many years, I have lived between two worlds, the church world in the world of broken humanity. I sat with people battling depression, people fighting anxiety, families breaking apart, people carrying trauma, pain, addiction, hopelessness, fear. And what impacted me the most was realizing that many people may look alive externally while dying internally. But after all these years, I have discovered something more powerful. They are some wounds that therapy can help manage. But only the presence of Jesus Christ can truly heal the soul. Because Jesus does not only touch the mind, he restores the soul, he heals the heart, he lifts the broken, he gives pain that medicine cannot produce, he gives hope that trauma cannot destroy. And that's why I still believe to this day, with all my heart, that despite my education, despite my background in neuroscience, and despite my background in therapy, and despite my background in science in general, I still believe with all my heart that Jesus still is the answer for humanity today. So today, what I want to share with you, what the Lord put in my heart, is what happened over 2,000 years ago. At Pentecost. So if you have your Bible, you want to follow me, I'm going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. In the title of this message could be, When Fire Falls Again. And the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So, church, today, we are not simply celebrating a date on a calendar. We are celebrating the moment that changed human history forever. Because Pentecost is not just an event. It was heaven invading earth. It was the moment when God poured his Spirit upon ordinary people and transformed them into carriers of his glory. And I believe with all my heart that the same Holy Spirit that moved 2,000 years ago in Acts chapter 2 is still moving today. The same Spirit that filled the upper room is still filling hungry hearts today. The same Spirit that healed, restored, empowered, and transformed lives is still doing the same miracles today. Before we go any further, I need someone to understand who is in this room today? Because we are not gathered around religion. We are not gathered around tradition. We are not gathered around personalities. We are gathering around the presence of Jesus Christ. And the Bible declares that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's something when I read the Gospels, and I don't know about you, but I have a vivid imagination. I don't have a problem casting out a vision because I can see things as the Lord put them in my heart. But especially when I'm reading the Bible, what I realize is that when Jesus show up, things happen. So that means that if he's the same as yesterday, today, and forever, that means that the same Jesus that healed the sick still heals today. That the same Jesus that restored broken people is still restored today. The same Jesus that delivered the oppressed is still breaks chains today. The same Jesus that raised the dead is still resurrect dead things today. And I came, and I'm going to use this word, and please don't be scared. I came with a prophetic word, and I'm not speaking about that I know what's going to happen, but I know what the Bible says. So I came with a prophetic word for somebody this morning. He is here. And because every time Jesus, when you read the scripture, every time he show up in the scripture, something changed. Every time that Jesus show up in the scripture, things happen. Every time that Jesus show up in the scripture, natural things were not natural, and the supernatural started to happen. That means that the same Jesus that healed the sick still heals today. And if he's here,
blind eyes opened where Jesus showed up. Storms calmed, chains broke, demons trembled, broken hearts healed, hopeless people found purpose again. And I believe somebody did not come to church today by accident. I want to believe that God brought you here because heaven wants to touch your life. Because one moment in the presence of God can change everything. One touch from Jesus can restore years of pain. One encounter with the Holy Spirit can heal what life tried to destroy. But I know that heaven's response to faith, heaven's response to hunger. This is why the psalmist in Psalm 81:10 declares, "Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." In other words, believe me for more. Expect greater things. Stretch your faith, because God does not feel empty religion, but He feels empty hearts. He feels hungry people. And I believe today that the Holy Spirit wants to move in this room again. Not historically, not emotionally, nor intellectually, but supernaturally. And the day that happened, everything changed. Acts chapter 2 in verse 1 opens with a powerful statement. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And everything changed. But what I realized is that before there was fire, there was unity. Before there was power, there was surrender. Before heaven opened, there was people seeking to seek God together. And church, this is important because Pentecost was not just about speaking in tongues. The true miracle of Pentecost was hearts becoming one under Jesus Christ. Because what I realize is that unity attracts the presence of God. That's what Jesus in John chapter 17, when he prayed for us, he prayed that we might be one. And when I read the Bible, Jesus didn't pray for bigger buildings. He did not pray for popularity. He did not pray for influence. He prayed for unity. Because Jesus understood something powerful. A divided church cannot carry unified power. And we live in a world of full of divisions, families divided. You know, I worked for 20 years, and literally I was making money trying to unite what life has broken. We live in a world that families are divided, communities are divided, politics divided, generations divided, even churches divided. The world keeps teaching separation, but the kingdom of God teaches reconciliation. Because the blood of Jesus creates one family. And I believe that that's what makes Pentecost so powerful. You remember in Genesis, the first chapter, that the people gathered together and they were trying to build a tower to go to heaven. At Babel, humanity was divided by God by language. But at Pentecost, humanity was united by the Spirit. At Babel, people gathered to glorify themselves. At Pentecost, people gathered to glorify Jesus. At Babel, pride created confusion. At Pentecost, surrender released power. So what I learned, number one, is that unity prepares the atmosphere for miracles. The Bible says that they were together in one place. Do you realize that they had different personalities? Have you ever read the gospel and see the disciples? They were different, completely different. They have different personalities, different backgrounds, different stories, but they have only one mission in church. That's still the heart of God today. Because unity is not everybody looking the same. Unity is everybody surrendering to the same Savior. And hear me lovingly this morning. Some people want revival, but refuse reconciliation. Some people want fire, while still holding bitterness. Some people raise their hands in worship, but refuse to forgive somebody on Monday morning. But the Holy Spirit cannot fully move through a divided heart. Sometimes before God changes your situation, He wants to heal your heart. Sometimes before heaven sends fire, God asks us to let go of pride. And can I be honest? I don't know here. But me, even I have a big issue. Even speaking in Spanish, I have issues because I have 14 different countries. So sometimes when I'm speaking, I know that I said something wrong because some people clap, others laugh, and other people get mad. And I get every week emails of the things that I shouldn't have said. So at least if you're not understanding half of what I'm saying, I'm okay. Because you can blame it to that. But people, sometimes people, church people can be funny sometimes. We say, Lord, send revival. But we won't even talk to somebody sitting three rows away. We rebuke demons while protecting our bad attitude. Sometimes the greatest warfare is not demonic attack, it is pride. But I believe today what God wants to heal hearts again. God wants to restore unity again. God wants to remind His church we are one body, one family, one mission, one Savior. And when God's people unite, the impossible becomes possible. Number two, the Holy Spirit does not just come to comfort you. He transforms you. Act 2 says, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. And I love this because the Holy Spirit did not arrive quietly. He came like a wind. He came like a fire. Why? Because the Holy Spirit did not come simply to make people emotional. He came to transform life. Peter, I love Peter. I can relate to Peter. I open my mouth when I shouldn't. I know Peter. Peter is proof of that. Have you read your Bible before Pentecost? Peter was unstable. In my world, I would say bipolar. A little bit of depression here, anxiety here. Peter wasn't stable. Peter was fearful. Peter was inconsistent. For God's sake, a servant girl intimidated him. But after Pentecost, the same Peter stood before thousands preaching boldly about Jesus Christ. What changed? Not his education, not his personality, not his background. Power changed him. Because when the Holy Spirit touches a life, everything changes. Cowards become courageous. Broken people become restored. Confused people receive vision. Weak people receive strength. And some of you, if I can say it respectfully, some of you maybe are trying to fight the spiritual battles with human strength. And hear me carefully. You cannot defeat darkness with motivational speeches alone. You need the Spirit of God. Your marriage needs the Spirit of God. Your children need the Spirit of God. Your mind needs the Spirit of God. Your home needs the Spirit. The nation, this nation needs the Spirit of God. America does not simply need another trend. America needs Pentecost again. Number three, the Holy Spirit still fills empty people. And I feel this deeply in my spirit this morning when we were worshiping the Lord. Maybe you're here and you're tired. You love God, but life has drained you. You worship publicly while bleeding internally. You smile externally while fighting battles internally. And maybe you're here and you came to church carrying pain nobody knows about. But the Holy Spirit sent me from California, the land of honey and milk. We have giants, but we're taking care of them one by one. The Holy Spirit sent me with a word for somebody today. You are not empty because God left you. You are empty because heaven is preparing to fill you again. Because every empty place surrendered to God becomes a space for His glory. And maybe you walk into this room weak, but you don't have to live weak. Maybe you came in discouraged, but you don't have to live discouraged. Maybe you came carrying anxiety, fear, hopelessness. But one touch from the Holy Spirit can change everything. Because my Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. What I learned about Pentecost, number four, is that fire was never meant to stay inside the building. Act 2 says, they began to speak. The evidence of Pentecost was not silence. It was expression. The Spirit came in them so Jesus could flow through them. The upper room was never meant to become a permanent hiding place. The fire came so they could go outside and change the world. In church, we are not called to be spiritual consumers. We are called to be carriers of His glory. You might never preach behind a microphone, but you preach every single day with your life, at work, at home, at school, at the grocery store, with your attitude, with your integrity, with your suffering. People should feel Jesus around you. And let me say something honestly, but lovingly. I know in other churches, because this is perfect, you guys have no issues. You're all perfect people. You look beautiful today, by the way. But I know churches, they even speak in tongues on Sunday, then speak horrible about people on Monday. And the Holy Spirit is, if the Holy Spirit is truly in us, it should affect our character too. Because real fire does not just change your language, it changes your life. Lastly, do you know that a Latino preacher, when he says lastly, is because there's like a 20 minutes. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Number five, God wants to pour out His Spirit on every generation. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, the Lord says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, not some people, all people, young people, old people, rich people, poor people, educated, uneducated, every culture, every nation, every background. The Holy Spirit is the great equalizer of heaven. And I believe with all my heart that God is raising up a generation again that is hungry for a real encounter with God. Young people tired of empty religion. Families hungry for prayer again. Men willing to worship again. Women walking in spiritual authority again.
The Church of Jesus Christ is still alive, and revival is not coming through celebrities. Revival is coming through surrendered people, people willing to pray, people willing to repent again, people willing to seek the presence of God again, because Pentecost is not just a memory from the past. Pentecost is a present reality. And the same Spirit that shook the upper room is still moving today. So according to the calendar, today is Pentecost Sunday. And I hope that this is not just another routine service for you. Another emotional gathering. Another sermon forgotten by tomorrow morning. I believe heaven is searching for hungry people today. People desperate for God again. Because some of you have survived battles nobody knows about. Some of you almost gave up. Some of you cry silently. Some of you maybe walk in this room exhausted. But hear me carefully. The same Spirit that entered the upper room is in this room right now. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He changes the atmosphere. He heals hearts. He restores joys. He revives weary souls. He breaks chains. He awakens purpose. And the beautiful things about Pentecost is this. Nobody left the same way that they came in. And I believe prophetically, nobody wants to and needs to leave this room the same way today. So I want to just say this. The upper room was not the ending. It was the beginning. The church started to multiply. Not because they have many services. Not because they had a great worship team or a beautiful program. The church began to grow because they carry the presence of God. Families were restored. Young people encountered Jesus. Healing was flowing. Chains were breaking. Purpose was awakened. And revival was happening. That's my dream. That's my dream. We had a great concert yesterday to benefit the orphanage in Casa Guatemala. I go to missions twice a year because it's personal to me. When I see the rest of the world, I remember what the Lord said. Go and preach and make disciples. I go in the last 5 years, through my church, we have helped over 5,000-6,000 kids. And you know, every time that I see a face, we're going to be going November, December with Pastor Danny again to Guatemala. You know what I see in those children? You know what this land and what this country has given? I'm sorry. It has given the opportunity to many people to dream again. And when I go to Guatemala, when I go to Mexico, when I went to Colombia, I'm going to Chile in a couple weeks. And when I see these children, you know what I see? I don't see dreams. I see nightmares. And what we are doing is that as a church, I believe that we are helping people to dream again. I believe that we're helping people to believe that the impossible is possible. May God bless you. Thank you for this opportunity with all my heart.